Would you think that God would send Jesus without a purpose? Glory to God. Now, let's take a look at the anchor scripture. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and verses 10 to 14. Luke 2:10-14. It says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now, from this scripture, among other reasons, we can understand from that scripture 7 reasons why Christ came to the world. 7 reasons why God sent him to the world. Number 1, let's start this morning. It is the birth of glad tidings to all people. The birth of Christ is the birth of glad tidings to all people. In verse chapter 11 of that scripture, Luke chapter 2, it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The birth of Christ brought glad tidings to the world, because the birth of Christ is the beginning of good news. Everywhere you see good news, then there is glad tidings. That is why the gospel referred to it as the gospel of good news. It is the gospel of good news. Now, in simple English, we can just say glad tidings is the gospel of the birth of Christ. Unlike we heard this morning, unlike when you turn on your TV and they said flash news, what is it called again? Breaking news. Breaking news, you know something terrible has happened somewhere. But this is the news that gives us succor. Luke chapter 1 and verse 19, it says, "And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God. I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings." And we know the only job of angel Gabriel is to bring good news. So every time he comes with good news. I see you going home with good news today. CSB translation of that scripture. "The angel answered him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and tell you this good news." What is that good news? That Jesus Christ is coming. In Dabi translation, it says, "And the angel answering said to him, I am Gabriel, who stand before God, and I have sent to speak to thee and to bring thee these glad tidings." These glad tidings. Glad tidings is also good news. So his birth brought glad tidings, which is good news. And that is why the preaching of the gospel is referred to as the good news. Everywhere you appear and you say, I brought good news, it means that you have brought the gospel. His birth is the beginning of good news. His coming made salvation. And what is the good news? The good news is the availability of salvation to all mankind. That is the good news. Availability of salvation to all mankind. God was angry with the old generation of mankind. But then when Jesus came, he turned away his wrath. He came with good news. 1 Timothy 2:4, he said, "Who will have all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth?" The joy of his birth is that it brought salvation to all without paying for it. All we need to do is just believe in it. We are not paying for it like they did in the olden days. He said this salvation can only come by the shedding of blood of bulls and rams. He says, but this blood is shed once and for all. And then with everyone that believes in it, he said, it's done. You are going home with good news today. 2 Peter verse chapter 3 and verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards what? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." There is a man in scripture called Simeon. The Bible talks about him in Luke chapter 2, 25 to 30. He says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took him up in his arms. So he took the child from them and he lifted the child up in his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now I can go. Why? Because my eyes have seen thy salvation. This glad tidings, this good news of this birth has brought glad tidings to all mankind. Everyone born of a woman is entitled to be saved now. Number two, very quickly, what is in the birth of Christ? It is the birth of great joy in a joyless world. It is the birth of great joy in a joyless world. The birth of Christ brought joy to the world. That's why we sing every time, joy to the world, this Christ has come. Joy to the world. It commands joy in a joyless world. There is nowhere you turn to now, in the midst of 10 people, you will hear 8 bad news. Somebody will complain about something or something that is not working. But this is joy to the world. Luke chapter 1, 39 to 44. Look at this. You know what? This joy started from the womb. This joy began in the womb. It says, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. Ah! And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Only the Holy Ghost could open her up to that, because nobody knew that Mary was pregnant. He said, and whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? He says, for lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. The babe leaped in my womb for joy. The joy started in the womb. Before he came forth, the joy started. You won't lose your joy again. I said, from this service, you will not lose your joy again. It is also called the gospel of joy. One component that proves our salvation is joy. You know that the day you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there is unusual joy. The kind of joy that cannot be explained. It's called joy unspeakable that is full of glory. Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, he said, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Until you are joyful, there is no proof of salvation. Joy is the proof of salvation. As a matter of fact, loss of joy is a pointer to loss of salvation. And because the world lacks salvation, they lack joy. That's why David said in Psalm 51, 11 to 12, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. The joy of thy salvation. A proof of my salvation is your joy. Once you are joyful, and you know what? I'm not talking about being happy. I'm not talking about buying a car. I'm not talking about building a house. I'm not talking about buying your dream Tesla. I'm talking about you are walking on your feet and you are still joyful because there is something on the inside you that cannot stop that joy. It's called joy unspeakable that is full of glory. 1 Peter 1:8, he says, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Listen to me, brethren, we live in a joyless world. But there is joy that cannot be explained. We live in a joyless world, but there is joy that cannot be explained. It is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. The evidence of salvation, number one, is love, and this love commands joy. Glory to God. Every true lover is a truly joyful person. That is what salvation is all about. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. This is the reason why you cannot do without joy. Take a look at two things that joy commands. Number one thing joy commands is health and vitality. Anyone that has lost his joy has lost his life. Why? Because joy commands health and vitality. He says in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. That's why you cannot afford to let anybody steal your joy. Anyone that has taken your joy has taken your life. Anybody that has taken your joy has taken your health. Anyone that has taken your joy has taken your vitality. And if they have taken that too, they have automatically taken your life. So it's not worth it to be bitter against anyone, because bitterness actually uproots joy, deflates joy. I keep saying to people every time, you let somebody live in bitterness, it's like somebody living in your head rent free. They are not paying rent, and they are living in your head rent free. And you know what? 99% of the people don't know. The remaining 1% don't care. Let your joy be intact. You know the remaining 1%, I keep saying every time, are the one that will torment you. The 99% don't know. So when, take a look at it, somebody that you are bitter against, go and meet them and say, you see, you know what you did to me two years ago? I did that. When? I didn't know. They don't know. You see, the remaining 1% don't care. Why? Because they are designed by the devil to torment you. Thanksgiving Day, look at them. The headgear is up there. And then they know that you don't like them. So they will position their dance to come to the forefront. Oh Lord, I am very, very grateful for you have done. They say, you don't like me, I don't care. Nobody has a right to steal your joy. In a joyless world, God has given you joy in Christ Jesus. Nobody has a right to take it from you. Health and vitality. In Nehemiah 8 and verse 10, he says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. In other words, you don't need to take medicine. The medicine you need is joy. Joyful people hardly fall sick. So don't let anybody take your joy. And then, inside joy is the release of fruitful labor. Everyone is serving. How many are reaping the reward of service? Joy makes our labor fruitful. If our labor is not laced with joy, it becomes fruitless. I've been to some hotels, and then at the reception, the person welcoming or receiving you are so joyless. It's already showing in their faces that you are disturbing them. How many understand what I'm talking about? And now the organization says you should send how you feel, a review. And you say, no, I'm not coming back here. Why? Because so person is very rude. She loses her job. You get to some other hotels, and then the joy is, even if you were angry getting there, you live with joy. Because joy is contagious. Glory to God. You want to reap where you have sown? Do it with joy. Joel chapter 1, 11 to 12. He says, be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen. Howl, O ye vinedressers, for the wheat and for the barley. He says, because the harvest of the field is perished, the vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth. He says, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. Even all the trees of the field are withered. Joy, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. There are some of us here that our bosses don't like to see, because we never smile. You are complaining, you are not being promoted. Check it again. Check yourself. Glory to God. The one that doesn't even know how to do the job well is very smiling every time. And when he makes correction, the boss corrects it. When he makes mistakes, the boss corrects it because he's very friendly. May the Lord give you understanding. Number three, what is in the bath of Christ? It is the bath of peace. Peace. There can be no true peace without salvation. And since his birth brought salvation, inside his birth is true peace. The world is a troubled world, but salvation brought unspeakable peace to all mankind. Luke chapter 2, 13 to 14. It says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It's called also the gospel of peace. Every time we go to preach the gospel, the first thing we say is peace to this house. That makes peace one of the components of salvation. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Paul said to the Romans, watch out for three things that validates your spirituality. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We experience inner peace because the Prince of Peace dwells in us. Every time you experience inner peace, it is because the Prince of Peace dwells in you. In the midst of trouble, you are experiencing peace. Peace is going home with you today. I said you are living here with peace today. Whatsoever has troubled your spirit man, I uproot it now by the power of Jesus Christ. And you are returning with inner peace in the name of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9 and verse 6, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You cannot have the Prince of Peace and you still lack peace. John 14:27, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. There is a kind of peace that there is Jesus' kind of peace. He says, my peace I give to you. This kind of peace is, cannot be bought with money. This kind of peace is not the amount of money that you have in your bank account. This is my kind of peace that I'm living with you. He says, my peace I live with you. Not as the world giveth, because the world cannot give this kind of peace. Give I unto you, he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What is it that is causing you heart palpitation? He says, because the king, the prince of peace is close, that palpitation will disappear. There is what is called inner peace, Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That was the kind of peace that Jesus, that even when the boat was sinking, Jesus was still sleeping. Peace in the midst of the storm. Peace in the midst of the storm. Peace in the midst of the storm. Why? Because the Prince of Peace dwells in us. And a sign of our absolute trust in God is the inner peace we have in the midst of trouble. Glory to God. You know one thing that happens in peace? When your inner peace is confirmed, it takes over that battle. Peace is simply saying, I trust in you. And once that trust is confirmed, it takes over the battle. 2 Chronicles 20, 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still. Wherever you see stand ye still, it simply means have peace. Stand ye still, have peace. That's talking about peace. Don't fret, stand ye still. It says, because Psalm 46 and verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. In other words, have peace. And then I will prove to you that I'm God. Be peaceful. Trust me. And I will prove to you that I'm God. And so in verse 17, 2 Chronicles 20 now, and verse 17, it says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And when their peace was confirmed, the Bible speaking in 23 to 24 of the same scripture, it says, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the tower in the wilderness, they looked into the unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies falling to the earth. And what? And what? And not what? None of your enemy will escape this time. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When their peace was confirmed, it took over the battle. Peaceful people don't fight. God fights their battle. Exodus 14, 14. It says, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. As soon as I confirm your peace, I will take over your battle. The last battle you lost is the last you will ever lose. Amen. I said, the last battle you lost is the last you will ever lose. Amen. What is in the bath of Christ? Number 4, it is the bath of goodwill to all men. Goodwill to all men. Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And what is goodwill? What is goodwill? Goodwill is averting wrath when mercy prevails. Goodwill is averting wrath when mercy prevails. The coming of Christ averted all manner of God's wrath against mankind, including curses. Galatians 3:13 to 14, it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessing of Christ has eroded the curses placed and replaced it with goodwill. All curses that you may have been coming with from your family, from wherever the curses were taken from, it was the bath of Christ that eroded them and turned them to goodwill. The wrath was going to unleash on mankind was averted by the coming of Christ. Matthew 1:21, he removed every barrier so that all of us, but out of his goodwill, can have access to him. Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Romans 3:23, he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us, he says, we are not entitled to even come to his presence, but his coming gave us goodwill to have access to him. His birth gave us goodwill to have access to him. Glory to God. Number 5, very quickly, what is in the bath of Christ? The bath of Christ brought back the lost presence of God. In the Garden of Eden, man lost the presence of God. Man lost the presence of God when they ate the forbidden fruit. The presence of God was restored out of goodwill by the coming of Christ. Look at this prophecy. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. So, that name was not just given to Christ. It was designed to return us to Christ. It was designed to return the presence of God back to mankind. The birth of Emmanuel brought back the presence of God that man lost at the garden. Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. It will even be better than before, because at that time, God will just come down in the cool of the day to fellowship with man. But now, we carry him everywhere we go. Glory to God. 1 John 4:13-15. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. So there is no day you leave God behind. Everywhere we are going, we carry him along. God dwells in us, and we in him. So whatever needs to get you must get him. He gave us his presence. His birth gave us his presence back. Number 6. What is in the birth of Christ? The birth of Christ brought the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The birth of Christ brought the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. What does that mean? Jesus was in human form when he was here. Now, because he came as a man, he was limited. And then he said something significant. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. The birth of Christ was the foundation for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is expedient means it is important for me to leave. Look at some translations, it will help us. ERV. Let me assure you, it is better for you that I go away. I say this because when I go away, I will send the helper to you. But if I do not go, the helper would not come. I want to help all of you, but I can't be everywhere. I am the only help you need, but let me go so I can send permanent help to you. As he's helping you in Calgary, he's helping you in Toronto. As he's helping you in Airdrie, he's helping you wherever. Glory to God. Why? But if I don't go, you know, remember in scriptures, everywhere Jesus went, especially let's use blind Bartimaeus as an example. Blind Bartimaeus wanted to go crazy because he knew that if Jesus left, he would remain blind forever. The physical presence of God. But he said, it is expedient that I go. Now, I can't go if I don't come. I came, so, and that was the beginning of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For anyone that needs help can call on him. May the Lord give us understanding. I said, may the Lord give us understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. Matthew 3:11-12. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. He says, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into his garner. He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now we have the Holy Ghost inside us and we carry him around because Christ came. And finally, number 7, what is in the birth of Christ? And listen to me, the birth of Christ gave birth to you.
Hallelujah.
Is somebody understanding that?
Yes, sir.
The birth of Christ is the reason you are seated here. The birth of Christ gave birth to you. The birth of Christ is the reason you are seated here today. The reason you are here today is because he came. You know what they say? The day you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what happened to you? You became born again. So he gave birth to you. His coming gave birth to you. John 3:1-3. He said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He gave his birth, produced you and I. If not for his birth, only God knows what our lives would have turned out to be. Only God knows where would be somebody, some people will be by now. In fact, some will be dead long time ago. Some will be living in transgenerational curse forever. But his birth gave birth to you, and that's why you are seated here this morning. I thought somebody would be glad about that. I thought somebody would be glad about that. If you are, rise up on your feet with me. Come on now and give him thanks this morning. Give him praise. Give him glory. Give him honor. Give him all adoration. Magnify his name and exalt him. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' most glorious name we have prayed. Before we go into the Thanksgiving session, somebody needs to know him so that your thanksgiving can be acceptable. Somebody needs to come to the knowledge of him so that our thanksgiving can be acceptable. Someone is here this morning. You want to say, Lord Jesus, I want to know you as my Lord and my Savior. Somebody else did know him before, but you walked out on him. And he's saying, he's reaching out to you this morning to say, my son, my daughter, return. And I will return to you. Why not this morning? All heads bowed and all eyes closed. Wherever you are, put your right hand on your heart. Let me quickly pray with you wherever you are. You want to say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. I want to know you as my Lord and my Savior. On this special Christmas day, what a day. What a day to know you. What a day to know you. What a day to meet with you. Why not again this morning? All heads bowed, all eyes closed. God bless you. God bless you online and on ground. You want to say, Lord Jesus, I want to know you as my Lord and my Savior. Someone else wants to say, Lord Jesus, I want to rededicate my life to you. Why not this morning? If you're doing that, please very quickly repeat these words after me. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I've come to you today just as I am. I know I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me. And on the third day, you rose again that I might be justified. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, because now I'm born again. In Jesus' precious name. Father, thank you for these precious souls. Your grace brought them. Let the same grace preserve them. These ones will never go back to perdition again. They will begin to take root downwards, bear fruit upwards to the praise and glory of your name. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' most glorious name we have prayed. You said that prayer in your heart, wave your hands to Jesus wherever you are. Somebody will be by your side. Church, I thought you were clapping. Somebody will be by your side to assist you. Somebody said that prayer in their heart. Why not this morning? The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. You said that prayer in your heart. Somebody will be by your side. You said that prayer online. Send a text message to the number that is being displayed right now, and somebody will also be getting in touch with you. Somebody is blessed this morning in the name of Jesus. That is you. Your amen will show it. Help me congratulate your neighbor on your right and left as you take your seat for a moment. Glory to God. As you take your seat for a moment, as we are about to go into the Thanksgiving session, it is expedient for us to know what is in Thanksgiving. What is in Thanksgiving? Because every time we engage Thanksgiving, the Bible says it is good. And everything that is good is rewardable. Psalms 92 verses 1 to 2. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. And when we do that, it says this is the reward that you will get from it. Verses 10 to 15. It says, but my horn shall thou exalt as the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. My eye also shall see my desire on my enemies, and my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. He said, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. It shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. I thought I had an amen.
Amen.
Three things very quickly that you are taking home from this Thanksgiving. Number one, expect to return with fresh oil. Expect to return with fresh oil. Psalm 92 verses 1 to 2, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. And then what happens? Verse 10, but my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Every time we return with thanksgiving, he refreshes us. He baptizes us more with more oil. And that is why thanksgivers never lose any battle. Number two, very quickly, expect to start scaling new heights in the year 2023. Expect to start scaling new heights in the year 2023. Where you are now is the least you will ever be. In the name of Jesus Christ. Psalm 92 verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, O Most High, and to sing praises unto thy name. And then in verse 12, it says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. It shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. One thing I've learned about the palm tree is that there is no part of the palm tree that is useless. Every part of the palm tree is useful. That means everywhere you turn in the year 2023, people will be scrambling to touch you. People will be scrambling to hire you. People will want to associate with you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means just as the palm tree does not have a useless part, in the year 2023, there will be no dull moment for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Every month in the year 2023 shall be a month of testimonies for you. Number three, finally, expect to still be fruitful until your last breath on planet Earth. Expect to still be fruitful until your last breath on planet Earth. What does that mean? Psalm 92 verses 1 to 2, it says it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. And then in verse 14, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Stop allowing people to call you old. How many old people are here? Glory to God. They say, you are 55. And then they say something. They say, oh, I forgot. You know, I'm getting his age, his old age at 55. When you should slap your brain and say, why did you forget? Glory to God. You're saying, his old age, that's how old age starts. Who says you are old? He says they will still bring forth fruit in old age. They will be fat and flourish. God's servant Bishop David Oyedepo tells about a man, Pastor Della, how many have heard of him before? He says at 110, when you go to this man's house and you want to give him something, he says when you are leaving, what you brought for him, what you are taking home is more than what you brought. Scriptures being fulfilled. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourish. And then you are 23 and you are saying, his old age, at 30. At 40, his old age. God forbid, rise up on your feet with me. Come on now. Give God thanks this morning. Give him praise and glory. Give him honor and adoration. Magnify his name. Magnify his name. Exalt his name. After this service, you will never have a better last year. You will never have a better yesterday. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So shall it be. In Jesus' most glorious name we have prayed. Now, is somebody ready to praise him? This is the last Sunday of the year 2022. Glory to God. This is the end of the